The scripture that I wish to share with you is Psalm 46, and you're welcome to follow along as I read from that psalm this morning. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of the city. It shall not be moved. God will help it when the morning dawns. The nations are in an uproar. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. See what desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. It is a scary thing when the earth changes. It's a frightening thing when our world changes in ways we never imagined. And our young friend was sharing with us an experience that we've all known about. We remember what that earthquake felt like when the earth is shaking under your feet and you don't know what is about to happen. It is a scary thing when the mountains shake in the heart of the sea. Now, we watched on our televisions, didn't we, when the tsunamis were hitting Indonesia and the tsunamis were hitting Japan, and the powerful force of that water was moving buses and cars and knocking over buildings and sending people scrambling in ways they had never thought they needed to go. Sometimes life is scary. And here is a psalm that imagines a Category 10 hurricane and a Category 5 earthquake and dares to claim, "We will not fear." Here is a psalm that advocates no fear when the events of our lives threaten to make us frightened. I was watching CNN this week and I saw one business leader identifying the reality that there are world economies that are declining. And he was saying that in order to help nations, we need a president who understands business and understands jobs. I saw at another time a well-known national leader who was saying, the president has a plan, and we all need to support the president and give him time to do what only he can lead us to do. That made me aware of other leaders who identify themselves with the Tea Party movement, and they're saying, no, we don't want to hear what the current leaders are about. What we want are leaders who will reduce government spending and will stand by their promises and do what they say. Now, I may not be advocating correctly for any of those groups, and I'm not advocating for any one of them here. But I hear all of them, and I'm wondering, what is the solution? They all seem to have merit. We are in a fix in this time. And I'm just talking politics. I haven't even begun to mention what's going on in Libya or Egypt. Those two nations seem to be in crisis just now. Not to mention Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan, Syria, Israel. I heard recently someone say, and maybe there's more credibility to this than I'm aware of, that soon Iran and Israel are going to war. It's a done deal. It's about to happen. I say all these things to evoke an awareness of the realities that we read about in Psalm in verse 6. The nations are in an uproar and the kingdoms totter. And yet our personal dilemmas may prevent focus on anything but ourselves. The problem with fear is that it is mental. And we wake up with it in the morning and we do not know what we're going to do, and we go to breakfast and we do not feel like food, and there it is again. Knowing how to find a script, how to find something that can replace our anxious imaginations with something else, is invaluable. And this morning, I want to explore with you the wisdom and the good news of Psalm 46. What I first heard in this psalm was one thing. What I heard later was something else. What I first heard was God telling me, "Be still and know that you're God." I heard that in hospital rooms as a young pastor. And I would go with New Testament and with Psalms that my wife had given me, and I would, on appropriate occasions, open the book and read Psalm 46. Now, I was a busy pastor, and I thought, as a pastor, I'm supposed to be busy all the time. And I don't know what the people heard when I read this, but what I heard was, "Be still and know that I'm God." No matter where we live or how old we are, life gets busier and busier. But it's also true for many that no matter where we live or how old we are, life can get empty. And all of us can make a space in our lives to be still so that we know God is God and not our issues, not our struggles, not our problems. This morning, I remember this psalm as an invitation for me to take prayer and reading the scripture seriously. This is a powerfully important command that I believe the church needs to remember. Be still and know that I am God. I commend it to you. I have taken this seriously. This is the first thing I heard. But what I have heard since is something else. What I have heard since, as I listen to that verse, is how do I know that God is God? And I began to discover truth in all the other 11 verses. I came to realize that this passage is not just for me, but it's for a community of faith. It's for all the church. And there seem to be at least two things that are critical to not being afraid. First of all, knowing who God is and knowing what God does. And so, first of all, who is God, according to Psalm 46? It's rather clear. God is the one to whom we go when we are afraid right now. God is our protector. God is our safe harbor. God is the one who provides us help and strength and refuge. And there are two Hebrew words for refuge in this psalm. And one of them inspired Martin Luther to write these words: "A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing, our helper he amid the floods of mortal ills prevailing." Now, we just stood and sang these words. We proclaimed with the church that God is a fortress, God is a helper, God is the one to whom we go when everything else is falling apart. We have in our household a cat named Ernie who has been with us for years. And our daughter Anna, when she was teaching swimming here in her college years, brought him to us one summer. And someone had brought him to the pool from a vet. There were two kittens in the group, and for some reason she believed we would just adopt a cat. And Ernie was a terror cat, even as a little kitten. The first time I held the little ball of fur, he was biting and clawing my hands, and I had bloody hands because of this little kitten. Well, for years, we have loved Ernie, and his little personality has changed a bit. And so these days, when there is thunder and lightning and the elements coming down, we will hear a cry at the back door, and we will let Ernie in. And he will come into our home and get behind a footstool between a chair where my wife Georgia sits and where I sit, and he will find refuge there. For our cat Ernie, refuge is a footstool in our den when the world is coming down. Caroline is our youngest, and this summer she needed to come home. She was in Chapel Hill in Durham County, serving as a teacher's assistant in an elementary school there, and she found it difficult, frankly, to make ends meet. In North Carolina, they don't pay teacher's assistants a whole lot of money, and so it was difficult to put it all together, and so in order to pay some college bills, she has come home to be with us for a while. She's looking for work. She is looking to use her gifts for the good of some other good work in this community that will be good for her and for them. But saying that makes me aware of all parents and all grandparents and all of us here who have been a refuge and have been an open door for people who needed a place to come when they were in a transition in life. You and I know what that is. And so thinking on that reality is helpful in wondering how it is for God to be refuge and strength and present help for us. Because of who God is, the psalm says, we will not fear. We will not fear not only because of who God is, but we will not fear because of what God does. Now, what does God do? Well, if you hear this psalm, God is in the midst of the city. Surely this is Jerusalem. If we can believe this psalm, God will help Jerusalem. God will help the city from being moved. There were times when there were political forces surrounding Israel that were threatening it. Assyria and Egypt in particular. And the nation needed to know that it would be secure. If God is in the midst of the city, it shall not be moved. And there's a time factor. God will help it when the morning dawns. The nations are in an uproar. The kingdoms totter. And the way God helps is God speaks. And the psalmist says, and the earth melts. That's the kind of power you and I need to be connected to in our lives. We need someone to speak, and the earth melts. And then there's this refrain. A refrain such as a choir would sing, such as people like you and me who are sometimes fearful, the Lord of hosts that we remember on Christmas Eve, the Lord of hosts of the armies of heaven, the Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge. And then there is a word about our paying attention. It's not a casual comment. It's a call to behold the works of the Lord. This is not, now if you have time, I want you to go and take a look at this. You don't have to get to this anytime soon. This is a biblical, behold the works of the Lord. Pay attention to what God is doing. God brings wars to an end on the earth. Listening to Dr. Mays in his commentary on the Psalms, I'm aware that the correct reading of be still and know that I am God in the Hebrew is more appropriately throw down your weapons, stop your fighting, stop your conflict, and know that I am God. I was doing a graveside service at Hollywood Cemetery several years ago, and we read this psalm standing there on the ridge, unaware of my surroundings in some ways, but we came to this verse, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. And all around me was a family broken by the untimely death of a 43-year-old father and husband and son and brother. And they were broken by it. And I remember reading that verse, we could hear the James River. It was very clear. again, Dr. Mays would tell us this river, there is no river in Jerusalem. There are no rivers there. This is a cosmic river. Just as Elek was saying this morning, a river of God's grace, of God's claim, of God's promise in Jesus Christ. For that Jewish community, it was a river of trusting a God who is refuge and strength. And Israel had known it for decades, for centuries. They had known it over time through all kinds of calamities. There was a river. And that morning in Hollywood Cemetery, we heard it. And for me, it reminded me of God's promise and of God's presence and of God's nearness. And God has taken care of that family. It has not been easy, but God has taken care of them. Perhaps the most important of all God's works is this Savior, this Jesus who comes into this frightened world. And he believes God is refuge and strength and present help, and he calls disciples, and they come together, and they do ministry, and it would seem that he is going to change the world, and then he calls them together at this particular time at Caesarea Philippi, a place of springs, a place of refreshment, and he says, I need to tell you, I'm going to go up to Jerusalem and suffer at the hands of the religious leaders there. And suddenly Peter is frightened. And the disciples are frightened. They are scared to death as they have ever been before. Lord, this must not happen to you. And he has to rebuke Peter. He calls him down, calls him Satan. Peter needs to change his way of thinking because he's gripped by a fear that is getting the best of him. And Jesus needs to explain. Read the Gospel of Mark all the way through. Jesus is a suffering Messiah. Peter and his friends didn't know what that was. Jesus was a suffering Messiah who then offered God's invitation, if you want to come with me, then deny yourselves and take up the gifts and the calling that I have given you to be part of my kingdom. Take up that calling and then come and be where I am. In continuing ministry with Jesus, God's people have come to learn not to be afraid. In engaging with a world that is frightening and fearful, we come in our own way over time to learn we have nothing to fear. God is with us. We remember what St. Francis would say, O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, may not so much seek to understand, to be understood, but to understand, to be loved, but to love. This morning, you and I are listening to the one who keeps us from fear, and he would say to us, throw down your weapons, be still, know that I'm God. I'm exalted among the nations. I'm exalted in the earth. Psalm 46 puts words in our heads and hearts. It is a script that you and I can take and use to greet the day. God is our refuge. God is our strength. God is our present help in time of trouble. Therefore, as we greet the day, we will not fear. God who makes war cease to the ends of the earth. Just as we sang, did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. We're not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. You see, I cannot make this happen for myself. And yet, as I stand here before you, I am filled with gratitude for the opportunity to stand before you and be a temporary supply in this church. Because as I have prayed over 20 months, I'm grateful for your pastor and your session and your leaders that allow me to find that you are being an instrument of God's grace and kindness and answered prayer in my life. And I thank you for the chance to serve and be with you. You see, we cannot take away our fears by ourselves, but the church, we have experienced these realities. And this morning, I commend these to you. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, we are thankful today for your church. We're thankful today for this Reformation hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. And we're grateful, Lord, for the way you are a fortress here among us. As a church, we seek to take seriously Jesus' call to deny ourselves and take up our individual crosses and the crosses you give us to come and follow you and serve, to love you and love our neighbor in this community, in this world. So bless us, Lord, as we take up the cross you've given us, as we take up your word. Enable us not to be afraid. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.